that 2 weeks ago we had Easter Sunday and we had all sorts of things going on, right? We met at the park and we were with the Common Ground, our musical group. You guys, some of you were singing on Easter morning, right? That was awesome. You got up early, you got there, you sang, it was all good. We watched the sunrise together. We came over here at 8:45 and there was an Easter cantata, right? And that had a orchestra, essentially, and our choir, and it was beautiful. And then at this service, we still lifted those contemporary praises up that Jesus is written. And I'll just tell you that no matter your worship preference, and no matter where you went to church on Sunday morning, whether it was here or somewhere else, but I'm going to tell you that in the United States on Easter morning, there were two sentences that were spoken more than any other sentences all morning. And I want to tell you what they were. So here they are. The first one, of course, is Christ is risen. It's Easter morning. That is the phrase of the day. And if you church people know that when I say Christ is risen, you would say,
He's risen indeed.
That's right. Now, the second most often spoken sentence on Easter morning is this. You are sitting in my pew. Right? The first one was super easy, we know that, but that is one of those things that can happen, and I'm going to tell you, I'm thankful that I didn't hear that once on Easter morning at Bethel. I'm very thankful for that. Thank you that you made room for people who were looking for Jesus that morning, and you were able to overlook the fact that they might have been sitting in your normal spot, and there's a reason that this wasn't uttered here. And it is this, is that hospitality is one of our core convictions here. It is so important to us that when we surveyed the congregation a number of years ago, you said, this is important to us. This is something that we value and something that we think we should be doing all the time. That when someone is here that we may not recognize, that we want them to feel welcomed. We want them to feel comfortable, even if they're sitting in our normal spot. How about that? And I'll tell you what, if these folks who come and visit us, and we do, we have people come in and out, if they're looking for a church home, we want them to know unequivocally that they are welcome here. I was thinking about it this way. How many of you are familiar with the TV show American Idol? Some of you are. First service, only one person raised their hand. It's okay. It's okay. So this show is about, if you don't know what it's about is that they audition thousands of people for a chance to compete on live TV and to whittle it down to one, and that one winner out of all those thousands of people who auditioned will win a record contract and all the perks that come with winning a record contract, fame and fortune. And back in 2012... this guy, his name's Philip Phillips, won American Idol. And on the night that he won, which was May 22nd of 2012, one of the things they do, and I don't watch a show, but I'm read about this, is they have a special song for whoever wins. So there's like a coronation song. Yeah, right? Who knew? And the coronation song by Philip Phillips was the song Home. And this song became a hit on the radio. And I want you to know that even if you don't watch American Idol, even if you don't listen to popular radio, this song was so popular that you might have heard it in an American Family insurance commercial. You might have heard it in a Vizio, the TV People commercial. You might have heard it in a Coldwell Banker commercial, a Mazda commercial, and even a Walmart commercial. So this song became so popular that people bought it to use it to sell their products. And this song, Home, speaks to the core value of hospitality. That this is a safe place, not just for the insiders, but for everybody. And so what I want you to do is I want you to listen to a portion of this song. The praise team has been so gracious to play a little bit for us. I'm going to put the words up on the screen, and let's listen to this.
Hold on to me as we go, as we roll down this long unfamiliar road. And although this wave has been stringing us along, just know you're not alone. wanna make this place your home. Settle down till it'll all be clear. Don't pay no mind to the demons, they fill you with fear. Trouble, it might drag you down. You get lost and you'll always be found. You just know you're not alone. Cause I'm gonna make this place your home.
Right? Thank you. Thank you. That's awesome. I love having a house band. That's just awesome, right? But that's what it means to be the church, right? If someone is brave enough to come into a church on a Sunday morning where they don't know anybody, they're wondering things like, are these people like me? Or even more basic, will they just like me? Will I fit in? Will I feel at home? And I think our goal as church members, as this being our church family, is that we should help people make this their church home if they're looking. I mean, that is why God gave us the gift of a church family, right? So that we can do life together. How about that? Settle down, it'll all be clear. Pay no mind to the demons. They will fill you with fear. The trouble might drag you down. If you get lost, you can always be found. But just know you're not alone. I mean, if someone is here, they're looking for something. I know when I come, I'm looking for Jesus on a Sunday morning to be filled by him. The good news is you can always be found. Because in Jesus, no one is ever truly lost. And I hope that anyone who comes through these doors will discover that same spiritual truth told in a secular song. You're never lost in God. He doesn't let go of anyone. But we have to make the effort to introduce ourselves. That's how it works. It's not on them to break into the community. It's on us to welcome others in. I mean, some of you remember Thanksgiving this last year. We had our family went to Arizona to be with my mother-in-law for Thanksgiving. We went and spent time with Meemaw. And while we were there, because we took the whole Thanksgiving weekend, one of the things that we did was, Rachel and I said, we're going to go to church, and I like to go church shopping because I like to go steal ideas from other churches, right? I mean, it makes sense. If I'm going to go to church, I'm going to get some good stuff. So I like went through the Lutheran Church directory, the ELCA directory, and I'm like, okay, where am I going to go? Okay, I might know this pastor, and this looks like a good session. I'm going to go here. And we did. And the thing was great. The worship was great. The bathrooms were clean. The church was well laid out. I mean, all of that was wonderful, but no one talked to us all morning. In a room full of people, we were totally alone. Let's not be like that, okay? That's not us. They didn't even do what Peter, you know, Jesus' right-hand man, told the church to do. He says, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Well, this church didn't do that because they didn't grumble because they didn't even offer hospitality. Just quiet. They didn't have to grumble. They didn't do anything. But we value hospitality here. It's who we are. Not only do we want to make our own feel at home, but we want to give guests a reason to come back, to make this place their home. And totally on the surface, right, it makes sense. We offer public worship. If you go back there, you can see our doors are propped open right now. The doors aren't locked. This isn't a private gathering. This is an open gathering. And if we're going to have public worship where anybody can come, it would make sense that we, as hosts, would want to welcome our guests. But there's more. I mean, it's not about that so much as what Jesus says. He said, he who receives you receives me. And he who receives me receives the one who sent me. So think about this. Anytime you welcome someone and they respond, which most of the time they do, we're also welcoming Jesus into the space. And get this, every time someone engages us and we respond, they're also engaging with Jesus. I mean, how cool is that, right? Jesus stands between us and every relationship that we have. He's the mediator. He's the go-between. So anytime we're talking to someone else and welcoming someone else, we're also welcoming Jesus and vice versa. Now, last week, I showed you our new logo. And one of the things I told you that I discovered was that each of our core values actually corresponds to the part of the church year, in our church season. And one of the things I said to you was, this hospitality thing is a lot like Advent. You know, we get through Thanksgiving dinner, and the rest of the world turns to Christmas within a few hours of digesting jellied cranberries, right? We fit in an extra season. We fit in Advent as a way to get ready to welcome not only the baby Jesus, but in a parallel kind of loop here, is we also get ready to welcome Jesus back when he comes back one day to retrieve us. So Advent's kind of twofold. And so we get ready to welcome the King. And it just reminds me in hospitality, if Jesus is between us in every relationship, we also need to treat others like they're royalty. So important. And sometimes somebody might come and not even know Jesus. Over the years, I've had worshiped in congregations, including here, with Buddhists, with Hindus, with Muslim folks. I've had them. But they're coming and they're interested in hearing about Jesus. Even if they don't know him, they're interested. And the thing is maybe they don't know Jesus, but I know who sent them here that day, Jesus, even if they don't know it. So we should welcome them too. So Jesus says, you know, welcome others and you're welcoming me, but he's not done. It gets even better than this. Listen to this. Jesus goes on to say, and whoever in the name of a disciple gives to one of these little ones even a cup of cold water to drink, truly I say to you, he shall not lose his reward. Now, I like Eugene Peterson's translation in The Message. That's why I put them both up. Same thing. He says, give a cool cup of water to someone who is thirsty, for instance. The smallest act of giving or receiving makes you a true apprentice, and you won't lose out on a thing. Giving water, the smallest act of kindness, means something to God. Now, here's the coolest part of this all, is today you can actually literally give somebody a cool drink of water who is visiting here today. Think about that. We have our new water bottles. And they work. So we can take Jesus' instruction and go, well, that's symbolic. No, we can literally do that now. How cool is that? And so what I'm telling you is when you see somebody you don't know and you think they're here for the first time, you go get a water bottle. You don't need my permission. You don't need to wait for a staff member's, you know, can I? Just go do it. You have my permission. You can tell them that the gift is from you. I don't care. Do something nice. You can even fill it with cold water and fulfill this command. So here's the deal. I mean this. If you're a member here, I want you to raise your right hand. I'm going to deputize you right now. But this has never happened in church before, okay? Here it is. I'm going to deputize you. Okay, repeat after me, I, state your name. Thank you, good. Do solemnly swear to give a water bottle to any and every guest I meet at Bethel. I do not need to wait for the pastor's permission. So help me God. Okay, you've been deputized. There it is. So here's the deal. If I see a guest from here on out and they don't have a water bottle, I'm going to have to call a congregational meeting and have closed door session with all of you, okay? So this is how serious this is. Welcome people. Give them a gift. Because you know what? When people go church shopping, they're looking for something. They might not even know what they're looking for, but they're looking for something. More than that, sometimes people go looking for church because something's not right in their lives. And they're looking for a safe place to get answers. They're also looking for a safe place to do life together, to know they're not alone, just like that song said, to know that someone else cares. We're that place. We are. We can be that safe place, just like the people of Gander, Newfoundland. There it is. Out there in the middle of the Atlantic, just off the coast of Canada, the northeast side. Paul, you know where that's at, right? Yeah, that's what I thought, you might know where that's at. This little town of Gander, Newfoundland, has an airport. It is actually the closest North American airport to Europe. That's how far east this is. And on September 11th, 2001, when all North American air traffic was grounded, many planes on their way coming this way from Europe and beyond were grounded in many different airports, including this one in Gander. And this small airport, it's not a big airport, it's a small town, that day landed 38 wide-body transatlantic jets in their small airport on a small runway. Now, all those planes, it totaled about 6,700 people. And that's just the beginning. The city went into action. Not just the city government, but the residents. They started housing people. They started feeding people. Everybody who was stranded. And it wasn't just the Red Cross. It wasn't just the police department. It wasn't just the airport authority. The people of Gander stepped up. And they welcomed 6,700 people from around the world. They housed complete strangers in every nook and cranny that they could find, in public buildings and in homes. The bus drivers were in the midst of a nasty strike. They laid down their picket signs and went back to work. Donations of toiletries and pillows and towels and clothes and toothbrushes all came pouring in. But that wasn't the end of it. The townspeople started cooking for everybody. They cooked so much that the grocery store's shelves went bare. The Walmart ran out of just about everything. And the head of the airport authority was quoted of saying, because of all the cooking, he said, it was like Casserole City. I want to live in Casserole City, right? You know, I'm just saying. The townspeople started cooking for their guests. They offered hospitality to people they didn't invite and people they didn't expect. Now, after all this was over, someone in town was interviewed and they said this: everyone looks at us and says, that's an amazing thing you did. And the bottom line is, I don't think it was an amazing thing. I think it was the right thing to do. And I think that speaks a lot to our culture these days. It says a lot about the state of the world. Hospitality is in short supply. When we see an act of kindness, we go, wow. And he says that's the right thing to do. We circle the wagons. We fear those who are different. We are unsure of the other, whoever that is. But you know what? Jesus doesn't shy away. He loves all the little children of the world. I don't know if you went to Sunday school, but we used to sing that little song, Jesus loves all the little children of the world, right? Because they are precious in his sight, right? Us and everyone else. And the deal is, because we are the church, we are also Jesus to each other and to the world, including our guests. So smile. And say hi to someone you don't know. I promise they won't bite. At least not at church, right? So next week, another core value. We're going to look at all of our core values over the next 5 weeks. So we're going to take another crack at a different core value and even another song. So come back. Amen.
to me as we go. As we roll down this long rusty road, and as this wave is stringing us along, you just know you're not alone. 'Cause I'm gonna make this place your home. Settle down, it'll be clear. Don't pay no mind to the demons, they fill you with fear. Trouble, it might drag you down. You get lost, you can always be found. Just know you're not alone. 'Cause I'm gonna make this place your home. Make this place your home.